¿Sabías que la fecha del Labor Day celebra el esfuerzo laboral de más de 155 millones de trabajadores en el país y que la primera celebración se llevó a cabo en Nueva York el 5 de septiembre en 1982? Si tu plan es celebrar con marihuana, recuerda que sus componentes pueden disminuir tu tiempo de reacción al manejar, deteriorar tu rendimiento cognitivo y dificultar tu capacidad para mantener una posición fija en tu carril. Si te sientes diferente, manejas diferente. Drive High. Get a DUI. Pagado por NHTSA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, this is The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, founder of The Complete Herbal Guide. And today I have the honor of introducing you to Martin Sharp. He is a multi-award-winning international consultant, coach, speaker, and author who helps busy and overweight entrepreneurs, consultants, and business owners obtain their fitness and lifestyle that makes them happier and more confident, and the flexibility to continue them to be their best. Martin, so tell us a little about yourself and what you do, and let us know more about you.
Hi, Stacey, and thanks for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, so I kind of guess my kind of story, and the reason why this is so important to me, the passion that comes behind it, starts back in 2014. And actually, I brought my family over to the States, over to Florida, to have a holiday for 3 weeks. I brought my mum over mainly because she always wanted to take me and my brother to Disneyland. But as a single parent, she could never afford it. And right. My business was doing okay. So I kind of thought, well, why don't I treat her? And so I took her away to spend time with her grandchildren. It's kind of not quite her children, but I thought it was nice enough.
Yeah.
We went to Florida and went to do all the different theme parks, went to Kennedy Space Center, off to the Gulf Coast and everything. Oh, it was beautiful. And anyway, when I was at the Universal Studios, I've got my two children in hand. I've got my 8-year-old bouncing coming down, going, yeah, is it going to be fast? Is it going to be fast? My daughter's going, is it going to be scary? Uh-huh. So, yeah, it's going to be fast and scary. We're kind of lining up to go on one of the rides, the Incredible Hulk ride it was. As I got to the front of the ride, the guy goes, excuse me, sir, but you're not going to fit in these seats. He says, but don't worry, I've got a special car just made for you. I'm thinking, what? So kind of left to one side, this special car comes down, tries to get me in the seat, can't get this restraint over my head or anything. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm just really embarrassed and I've got my kids here and everything. And anyway, thankfully, a friend of mine came with me, Andy, and he took them on the ride. And I kind of went off and slunked off into a corner. I was there, stood with my mom, right, thinking, oh God, that was embarrassing. And the thing was, I'd love to say that was the only time that happened during that holiday, but it wasn't.
Right.
So it happened a fair few times. And I think the big one, though, for me was, I'm sure we all do, we go on these great holidays, take lots of photos, right?
Right.
And my mum got a photo of myself and my wife on the monorail that comes out of the Magic Kingdom. And I literally have boobs bigger than my wife's boobs. I was shocked. And I just looked at it and thought, how on earth have I managed to get like this? So I kind of thought, right, that's it. I need to make a change. I need to do something different. So I committed to my wife. I said, right, I'm going to go back. I'm going to get a gym membership. I'm going to get PT. I'm going to get a diet plan, all those kind of things.
Right, yeah.
And I did it. So I got a PT. I got a gym membership. PT was a little lady called Kerry, and she kind of had a bouncing around for about an hour. Every time I'd come away from there, I'd be almost dead. And yeah, I was following a diet plan, tracking everything on MyFitnessPal, you know, one of those things.
Yeah.
And have you ever done the MyFitnessPal thing and looked at the values it gives you?
Yeah, yeah.
It's and you hard. Kind of, you read a bit around it and you think, okay, so if a calorie deficit is good, a bigger one's got to be better, right? No, it doesn't quite work like that. I didn't know at the time. So
yeah.
Yeah, so I was kind of going through all this and I spent about a good year, 2 years doing on that, and wasn't really progressing. So I was exploring different ideas. So I kind of went with, I did some kickboxing with some friends when I was down in London, and my daughter took me to karate. So she enjoyed doing that. She got to hit dad. It was great. we just tried all sorts of different diets with my wife as well. We did the South Beach diet. We did the Weight Watchers thing. We did keto. We did all sorts of things. But actually, I couldn't find a way to shift the weight off my frame. I was just still absolutely huge. And I think looking back now, I kind of realized it was more to do with the lifestyle I had. So being a busy consultant, I was spending so much time trying to, you know, build consensus and helping people get the results that they were looking for. And it would always end in going out for a meal somewhere or drinks over something or other. And, you know, I can't even remember half of the lavish dinners and desserts and God knows how much beer I've drunk over the years. And it takes its toll. So as good as I was when I was at home, I was dreadful when I was away. And the thing was, I was probably only home for maybe 5 to 7 days a month at its peak. And the rest of the time, you know, I'd be off. I'd be in the US, I'd be over in Europe, I'd be in like Asia or somewhere. So when you can't have that lifestyle, you suddenly realize actually, how are you going to make this work? And after 5 years of trying, and I'd lost about 10 kilos over 5 years, that's what, 22 pounds or something.
Right.
So it's not a huge amount. When I was weighing in at 154 kilos, which was 340 pounds.
So that's your original weight. That's what you started with?
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So it's quite big. And I was just telling my wife, I said, well, this is it, really. This is me. I don't think I'm going to be able to do much about it. And she said, well, don't worry about it. You know, you're happy. You've got a great career. You're respected by your clients and your colleagues. You've got a good, loving family around you. We still going to love you for things. And I was thinking, okay, well, that might be the case. But it's a bit like staring down the barrel of a gun, though, because I'm not from the best breeding stock. If I was a horse, I'm pretty sure I'd be shot by now. My dad's got fibromyalgia and diabetes. He's had several bouts of cancer.
Oh,
my younger brother, 2 years younger than me, he's going down the same track. So he's got diabetes and fibromyalgia. So I was kind of thinking, okay, well, if that's the case, we need to enjoy ourselves now because you know, there's not many years left.
And then
that was 2019 when I kind of thought, oh, that's it, I'm just going to give up on this, it's not going to work. And chance would happen, I was at an event down at the Fellbridge Crown Plaza Hotel near Gatwick, helping out doing some speaker training, actually, of all things. And we met a chap called Pete, and he just came over during breakfast time, said, would you mind if we could join you? I said, yeah, no worries, come have some breakfast with us. And we got chatting over coffees and things. And you know, when you see someone and you think, that person looks after themselves.
Right.
Because he looked really dapper in his nicely crisp suit.
Yeah.
He really was well chiseled in his face, etc. Really nice broad shoulders. Mm-hmm. Everything was just perfectly proportioned. You think, yeah, he looks after himself. So the kind of conversation turned to health and fitness, and he's a very successful businessman. So he says, well, how do you manage to fit everything in?
Yeah.
And he says, well, I just got myself an online trainer. He says, it was so he's an online coach. He says, because I now can just do it wherever I am, whatever I'm doing.
Right.
Fantastic. What a great idea.
Yeah.
So, and then you would never guess the next thing he said.
What?
So he goes, my online coach is actually with me here. I invited him to this event so that
he
could improve his business. It's like, wow. That's serendipity. So I'm there with obviously Pete and Adam. So Adam's he's an ex-bodybuilder, and he loves his Stoic philosophy. So it's kind of, if you imagine somebody who's built like a bodybuilder but talks like Marcus Aurelius or something, that's pretty much Adam. An interesting concoction, but it's really good to work with, in the fact that, you know, he got me to really think about what it is that I really valued in life and why I valued that. And it kind of made me think that actually, if I didn't change things in my life, because I already knew what the consequences would be,
right,
then actually I wouldn't be able to fulfill my highest values, which is, you know, I wouldn't be able to help my clients do what they need to do.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to spend time with friends and help my friends do what they want to do and have a laugh usually. And worst of all, I probably become a burden to my own family, which would mean I wouldn't be able to help them use me as a like springboard to become better than what I've ever been. Yeah. I'd actually be dragging them back. And to me, that was such a big and powerful motivating moment that it's kind of stuck with me all the way through it. So that helped me then change, because straight away I could then think, okay, well, how do I make all this lot fit in? So
right.
Obviously, tale goes on. I signed up with Adam, and he got me a meal plan, an exercise plan, and I kind of started to work out things like how can I bring rest and relaxation into my own routines right. and things. And in fact, a lot of the stuff I did around business transformations applied to what I was doing, because it's all about, you know, scheduling and monitoring and, you know, making sure you're prepared for the various things and prepared for when things go wrong and actually having contingency planning. All that kind of stuff all comes into it, but no one teaches this type of stuff, do they?
Right.
They think it's just eat less, move more. That's the usual motto people say.
Right.
And it's so much more than that to actually get things working.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of did it. And for me, the results have been fantastic. And I've been lucky enough to then be able to share this with other people as well. And they've had some just beautiful stories. And then the thing for me is the moments that you get afterwards. Like there was a chap called Phil.
Mm-hmm.
I was working with him. He was a really, really, really successful project manager. He was doing these multi-million pound deals all the way around the world, getting things working for these organizations. Massively overworked. You know about the people get to do the 9 till 5 thing.
Yeah.
He used to do the 5 till 9 thing 7 days a week. And that's what technology brought for him. It was just always on, never switched off. And he was practically on his knees when we started working together. And he just said the one thing he wanted to do is just spend time with his kids.
Right.
You know, play with kids. And it's like, you know, it's so heartbreaking when you hear people in those kind of positions when they just can't do that.
Yeah.
So the moment he sent me a text message that said, I've just done the monkey bars with my boys. It's just fabulous. And you think, this is what life's about.
Yeah.
Making those moments happen.
Oh, definitely. Because, you know, when you are overweight, it's very hard to do things. You know, you see people who are overweight, they even have a hard time walking because the amount of weight pressed on their ankles and their feet make it very hard for them to move around. So when you have a family or you want to do things, you're restricted. You're limited on what you can do because of the excess weight you carry. And that could be very devastating, even emotionally.
Oh, massively. And the thing is, though, when you're in that position, I mean, I went down from 154 kilos to 94, so it's 340 down to 207, is it, something? Don't work in pounds mostly. But so when it was at my heaviest, I had those same kind of things. And it's silly things like, for example, to get out of bed, you have to kind of roll over onto your side and then kind of shuffle your body around and get your feet over in the right way and then like leverage your body up and hopefully get there. Or tying shoelaces, you know, you have to kind of, it's almost like some weird yoga move you have to kind of do to get these shoelaces tied. But because it creeps up on you slowly and you're constantly adapting, you've got all these workarounds, effectively these crutches that you create for yourself, and you just don't realize it, and it suddenly becomes, oh, it's okay, yeah, I won't bother going to the theater because the seats are too small, but that's normal, I don't like going to the theater now, or I'm not gonna go for a jog or anything because I get out of breath or anything. No, I'll go do something different, I'll just go for a walk by the river or something,
right.
And all these, and it's those little things that you don't realize you've made compromises all the way through. These little coping mechanisms creep in.
Now what did you do? What was your first step? You know, because you obviously weren't happy with yourself. So you knew you needed to make a change. You wanted to make a change. You saw other people in society that you wanted to be like, that you wanted to one day maybe, you know, maybe have their, you know, their outside, you know, their ability to be thin or and be able to walk around and run with your kids and so forth. What was step one? Like, how did you start? Because people, you know, I hear people going from one diet to the next diet to the next diet and they can't lose a pound. They try everything or they lose it and they gain it right back. So, you know, what's your advice to people? Like, step one, what do they do?
It's all about your values. It is 100%. Everything that you do always starts in your head. You know, every emotion creates a thought, every thought creates an action, and every action has a reaction. Now, so if you don't sort those out, then it's game over. Because the thing is, with a lot of what people try and do for losing weight or getting fitter. They see it as being a transactional thing. So, you know, I will make a New Year's resolution and I will be fit in 3 months or something. And after three right. months, then what am I going to do? I'm going to go on holiday or something. Or that's the other classic one. Oh, I'm going to get beach ready to go on holiday. And they go on holiday and what they do, they just stuff themselves stupid and drink tons of beer. No, maybe that was just me. I don't know. But that's the thing. You kind of do these transactional moments, but actually it's not a transaction. It's a lifestyle. And to do that, you've really got to understand what it is that you value in life. You know, what fundamentally gets you up in the morning? And I don't mean the alarm clock or yeah. some kind of, you know, you've been to some one of these personal development type of things and they've turned around and says, 4 a.m, you're going to give a 4 a.m, you're going to do 30 burpees and read 20 books and journal and affirmations and blah, blah, blah. No, it's just what fundamentally gets you out of bed in the morning, makes you do what you do. And, you know, for me, it was literally those three key things. You know, it's realizing that my family means so much to me. You know, that motivates me more than anything else. My friends mean so much to me, and my clients and getting results for them mean so much to me. Fundamentally, that's why I get out of bed every morning.
Right.
You know, to fulfill one of those three things. And you will always do things for your top three values. If you write a list of like 10, 20 things each day, yeah. you know, you'll only get the top three done, and the top three will be the ones that actually mean something to you.
Right. So, you know, did you change your eating habits? Like how you went from, because I saw a picture of you and you show your shorts of what you used to be. And it's like, wow, oh my God, how did he do it? I'm like, I was amazed when you were holding up your old shorts and I see your body composure and the way you look now. And I'm like, oh, it's amazing. You know, what were your eating habits and your exercise habits and so forth?
Yeah, I'll just divert slightly onto the shorts for a moment just to make you smile a bit further. So I bought those shorts while we were in Florida. And so there's a picture of me by the Harry Potter train at Universal Studios wearing those shorts just to prove actually that they are actually shorts I was wearing. And I was so proud because they were 48 inches, what they said on the label, even though it was a 54 inch waist at home. Those little lies you tell yourself, it's those crazy things, isn't it? The number one thing was just it was actually increasing the amount of food I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it is so counterintuitive to what everyone tells you to do, because everyone tells you the same thing: eat less, move more, eat less, move more. Yeah, no,
that's the thing you hear all the time.
Yeah, it's eat the right things for your body.
Right.
You know,
right.
You could actually be starving yourself and therefore depressing your metabolism, causing all sorts of irreparable damage.
Yes.
Simply by the fact of eating less. So it's eating right. So I went from having like three meals a day where I really was, I think I depressed my calorie down to about 1400 calories at one point. It was ridiculously low for a person of my size. I'm 6'2". So, it's just not right. First thing we did, increase the calories, change the macro split, move it to like six meals a day. Even simple things like, you know, realizing that any food substance you put in your mouth, your body's just going to see as food. It's going to see it as fuel.
Yeah.
It's
going
to break it down into its component building blocks, and it's going to utilize them as such. Right. Whether you take that food from being, I don't know, a nice meal that you've prepared, or a chocolate bar.
Right.
The choice is yours. Your body's still just going to break it down.
Right. And if your body doesn't know what it is, it stores it. Because, if it can't break it down and it doesn't know what it is, it usually stores it. And people don't realize that, you know, because if your body's not getting the message, is this a protein, a nutrient, this, that, you know, it just stores it. And then all the toxins build up in your body too, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard though to change, you know, people, you know, find it very hard, especially when you're used to a routine, you're used to eating this and you're used to eating that. And then all of a sudden you're going from three humongous meals and all these snacks down to like six, probably small, normal size, you know, like what a Weight Watchers portion would be, you know, and you know, you're going from one extremity to the next. It was like, how did you do that? Cause that takes a lot of discipline to do that.
Yeah, the meals probably weren't as small as you think. So, for example,
really?
Of the, So again, it's understanding what it is that you're eating. So you've got three basic macronutrients: proteins, fats, carbohydrates. But you've also then got fiber, which most people don't really think about.
No.
So if you think about, how can you eat good quality meals, etc., and feel full and satiated afterwards, it's making that right kind of combination. So if you had for example, most of the time a protein portion for me is about the size of my fist,
right?
Yeah, so that would be about it. So it's a good, what, 8 ounce steak,
yes,
would be that. Similar size of a chicken breast, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's not a small portion per se.
Right.
And then when you start adding on top of there, for example, lots of green vegetables and things, so your broccolis, your cabbage, and all sorts of things like that, most of those have a very small trace amount of carbohydrates, and it's mainly all dietary fiber. And therefore, it helps make you feel fuller. It helps your digestion. It helps get your gut back to biome correct. All those kind of lovely things can happen. So as daft as it sounds, if you've automatically started to fill your plate up in that kind of proportions, and then you add on whatever else you're going to pop in there, whether it's going to be the fats that you're going to have in there, or you're going to have a portion of carbohydrates in there, depending on, again, what your aims are, what you're looking to try and do at that point, then that, it's not always as small as you think it might be.
Right.
And especially when you think, you don't have to calculate, every single macro that you eat when you're looking at things like green veg.
Right.
I mean, broccoli, for example, or spinach, or or asparagus. Because it's such a small quantity of impact, you might as well just have what it takes to get yourself full. And it works.
And what about snacks? Because that's where people, a lot of times, they think they're eating a healthy snack, and they're actually eating, some of those granola bars can be deathly. Oh. And people think that they're healthy, but then you look in the back and it's like, it's not that healthy.
Oh, dreadful. And low fat yogurt, that's the one that always gets me. That's the worst marketing ploy anyone's ever come up with. Because it's like, they've got to replace the fat that they've taken out of the milk, this thing that's just normally there, with something else. So what do they do? They stick sugar in here. Everyone thinks it's low fat. Yes, it's low fat. It's now high carb. It's even worse for you, because it's going to spike your insulin, cause all sorts of things to happen there. It's going to impact your liver. And what for? Because you think it's going to be better for you. Dreadful.
So what do you suggest if people have a craving or a little snack, or they're starting to feel that, their energy levels start to drop? What do you suggest for people to do if they need a little something, or they're craving a little something? What's the best option?
If they find they're craving something, then look at what it actually is and see how you can incorporate into your diet. Because most things you should be able to incorporate into your diet. I mean, it's just, they're all basic building blocks.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, a lady I was working, I'm working with, she's wonderful. And she loves Greek salad, absolutely loves Greek salad. So it's like, we were going through all different types of things she can do with meals. She just says, how can we get feta cheese on the menu? It's not a problem. We can work it out, because, it isn't a problem. You just look at what is the makeup of feta cheese. When could she potentially have fats in the diet? What would make a good day for that? That would make her feel fuller and happier, and it fits in with the activities that she's doing at that point in time. So nothing should be off the menu. And if, for example, if you like peanut butter or something, utilize it. It's a great source of fat, especially if you get not fully processed peanut butter and stuff. It's brilliant for you. Go for it.
That's an excellent idea. And how do people know if when they're putting, you say you can eat, a good amount of food. You don't have to count the calories, look at the portions, as long as you're eating the right foods. So is that basically your thing? Is that, you break the food throughout the day, eat what you want, but make sure they're low in sugar, not overly, saturated with bad fats and stuff like that. And you still could have a normal lifestyle and eat healthy and not have to feel like you're restrictive to things.
Yeah, absolutely. And they see, because as soon as, the thing is, your brain's crazy, because actually your brain cannot process negatives at all. It's impossible. It cannot do it. So, for example, if I say to you, do not, under any circumstances, think of a blue elephant.
Right.
The first thing you've done is thought of a blue elephant, because you can't think about it without actually thinking about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as soon as you go into this position of saying, people, do not, under any circumstances, eat, what was it, the nut bar things, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, do not, under any circumstances, eat nut bars. So what we're going to be thinking about all day, don't eat nut bars. The only thing their brain's thinking is nut bars. What's the first thing they're going to do? Reach for a nut bar.
Yeah, exactly.
So take the negatives away. So rather than saying, actually, don't eat this, don't eat that, you say, you can eat this, you can eat that, you can eat whatever you want, really. And these are kind of the things that you want to do around it, and then find out how you fit it into their diet so it works for them.
Now, what about exercise? Like, especially when you're overweight, it's very hard to exercise because you get tired very quickly. Or like we said, it's hard sometimes to stand and move body parts, you know, because of the excess weight. So what do you tell your clients when they are, you know, starting to, you know, create this whole new way of living?
Start slowly. And, you know, and this is the other side of it. So everyone says, again, it's the eat less, move more kind of thing that comes out all the time. But actually, you're looking for this thing. There's a potential difference, isn't it, between the amount of calories that you're eating versus the amount of calories that you're expending.
Yeah.
Now, if you can get your body into a position where it's losing weight with lots and lots of calories with very little exercise, then as it starts to plateau out, because your body will always go through and it'll adjust itself. It'll go through laws of specific adaptation.
Yeah.
And it will get to a point where it says, actually, I know how much energy you're going to put in, so I know how much energy I'm going to keep at one side effectively, and it leverages itself out. And that says that's how much muscle we're going to give you, because that's your metabolism now. So you might say, okay, well, I want a bit more muscle, so I want to increase my metabolism. So you increase the amount of exercise by providing more stimulus. And now that stimulus doesn't have to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 hours in the gym being slogged to death by high, and it doesn't have to be like that, you know. You can actually just do that utilizing your slower methods, make the lighter weight work for you, take your time over these things so you're fighting against gravity on the way up and the way out. Utilize all three parts of your movement, because again, most people, when they think about, for example, like resistance training, they'll just think about one part of the movement, like
Every day when you log into ChumbaCasino.com, the ultimate online social casino, you get a free daily bonus. Imagine if you got daily bonuses in other parts of your life.
I chose French fries over loaded French fries.
I asked Stuart from accounting about his weekend, even though I don't care.
I updated my operating system without having to call tech support.
Collect your free daily bonus at ChumbaCasino.com now. And live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Shooting drills.
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve. But one who genuinely cares about each player,
you have what it takes. We got this.
Can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
You look like you take an arm curl, for example. They'll think about, you know, how can I fling the weight up as quickly as I possibly can?
Right.
And then that's it. But actually, there's three parts of that movement. You've got the contraction piece that you're doing. You've got the hold at the top. And then you've got the extension piece afterwards. And if you're fighting against gravity all the way up slowly and all the way back down, you're going to feel that a lot more than you would do if you're just throwing the weights around. And you see it all the time. When you go to the gym, you see people throwing weights around. It's like, someone's going to lose an eye or something, I'm sure.
Now, some people, you know, I have so many people I know that have plateaued. Like, they lost a bunch of weight and then that's it. Whatever they do, whatever they try, you know, that's not their goal. They still want to lose more weight and they can't. And I'm even a victim of that. Like, I still want to lose another 10 pounds, but my body, for whatever reason, doesn't want to move from the weight it's at. You know, and, you know, sometimes I notice I lose some inches, but I go on the scale and my mentality says, I want those numbers to go down, even though it might not matter on the scale. But, you know, so many people I talk to, they plateau. Even a lot of men I know, they plateau at a certain weight. They're at the gym, they're doing everything they can. And it's like, they can't pass a certain weight. It's like virtually impossible. What happens? Because I know as we get older, our metabolism decreases. And it's harder to lose weight as we get older. So what do you tell people like that are in their mid age, you know, us boomers over here, you know, what do they do?
It's the same thing, and you know, I'm part of that same generation, so you know, we're not, I know exactly what you're going through. You will do, you know, it's just part of it. It's part of getting older.
Yeah.
And part of it is a case of not getting obsessed by the numbers on the scale. You know, because you know, if you're doing the right actions, and you feel good when you're doing it, and you can see the result for yourself, then you'll start to hear other people saying and comment about, you know, how well you look.
Right.
And I think that's got to be part of that whole process. But you're right, we've been kind of brought up in a way that everyone obsesses about this number on the scale. So you kind of got to move that mentality away and think, actually, if I'm looking good, I'm healthy, I'm doing the things I want to do, I can fit into the dress size that makes me look really great.
Right.
Not that I wear that many dresses, okay, just in case you but the whole point is, you know, that is a much better measure than actually look at the scales. But if you do find that you are plateauing out, then it's just utilize that law of adaption again. Mm-hmm. So all the plateau is telling you is the amount of activity you've got and the amount of food that you've got has now got to the point where it's actually back at equilibrium. So you need to make a change. You know, and the change isn't always decreasing food. Okay. The change might be actually saying, right, well, let's increase the food again, spike it, decrease your activity again. So you've given it a bigger gap and your body's going to go, oh, what's going on here then?
Yeah.
And then as you start to like increase the activity again, you can start to potentially decrease the food again.
Oh, okay. Now people, go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
I was just saying, just use the laws of specific adaptation to kind of help you along that way. It's just old, good old Darwin and his theory of evolution. We're constantly trying to evolve. We're constantly trying to survive. That's what our body is designed for.
Now, I know so many people, and especially women, you know, even men, belly fat, one of the hardest things to lose and takes the longest. Everything else around us drops, but that belly fat is almost virtually, it's a struggle for everybody. How do you have any advice for people who struggle with belly fat that, you know, they just want to get that belly fat off, but they, no matter what they do, they're losing in all the other parts of their body, but that belly fat just wants to hang on and say, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. You know,
Just perseverance is that one. Unfortunately, there's no kind of magic cream or special diet or anything. Your body is designed to store fat. And for men, it's predominantly around the stomach. For women, genetically, it's predominantly around like thighs, arms, etc. It's just part of our genetic makeup, and you know, that's the one thing we can't really change. Not today yet. Medical science hasn't quite got that good. We've got Dolly the sheep, but that's probably about it.
Right.
But eventually we might be able to, but not today. So things like, for example, your age you can't change. The biological sex that you were born with, you can't change. That's just part of your genetic makeup. Your genetics you can't change.
Yeah.
But other things that you can change. So, you know, you can change, you know, the lifestyle you're living, you can change the rest that you give your body. So, for example, one reason why a lot of people plateau out is they don't actually give themselves enough rest. So they don't give the body the time it needs to recover.
Right.
You know, and especially if you're going hard with things like resistance training or running or anything, you need to have that period afterwards for your muscles to repair.
Right.
And if you don't give it that period, it's just going to degrade and break down even quicker.
Right. So you're actually hurting yourself by not giving yourself time to rest. So someone shouldn't every single day be working out at the gym, you know, 2-3 hours. If they're a nut and they're in the gym all the time, they got to give themselves a day or two or whatever to recover and let the body recover itself.
Yeah. And different muscles take different parts of time to recover. So, you know, so if, for example, you know, most of your core muscles, you can probably recover within a day if you've given a really hard session, probably even half an hour for some people. Arms recover quite quickly. Legs take a little bit longer. Back and shoulders take a bit longer.
And have you ever talked to your clients about, like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the stigmatism, because our society, we're going through like changes now. First, you know, being skinny was it. Everybody was going nuts trying to be skinny. Now we're changing and they're saying being obese, being overweight is beautiful. And they're trying to, you know, they're putting, you know, heavy set models. They're, you know, they're encouraging people that it's okay. Now, don't you think that would kind of make people less motivated? Oh, it's okay, so I don't have to do anything. Does it break down just feeling what you feel about yourself? Keep focusing. Do you like yourself as a person? Or what do you tell these people that, well, everybody else is doing it? Because a lot of times people are just followers and not leaders. So what do you have to say about that?
It's an interesting one because, you know, people have the right to do to their body whatever they want, really. And as long as that's really it. And as long as they're happy, I think that's got to be one of the kind of key things. And driving to happiness is a great goal, because actually when you're happy, your body works a lot better. You end up being able to anabolize more muscles, more repair yourself better. You'll have less chances of getting colds and illnesses and various other things. Whereas when you're unhappy and you're stressed, that's when your body's catabolizing a lot more. It's constantly in the position of breaking down. You're going to feel that you're going to be tired and fatigued, because it's expecting that saber-toothed tiger any second to jump out and eat you, basically, is what your body's getting ready for.
Yeah.
So as long as you're kind of aiming for that being happier, you will be better than being unhappy. Right. And I think the issue is when people kid themselves.
Yeah.
I think, actually, I am happier being bigger. And I think if they truly are happier, great, no worries. But if it is a case that they are lying to themselves, and it is a dangerous thing, is that lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you cannot trust yourself, who on earth in this world can you trust?
Exactly. Very good point.
And so if you are lying to yourself, thinking, actually, I am happier in the way I am, then it's, you know, that's when you're going to find the problems already start. And it's going to be difficult for you to turn that around, because it's about that accepting, you know, where you are, what it is that you want to do. You know, I mean, 2014 was a wake-up call for me. I was sleepwalking into being obese, morbidly right. obese. My doctor was not very happy with me.
Yeah.
we had one or two conversations. But you know, you might wake up one morning and think, oh my God, what the hell happened to me? And 5 years have passed, whatever, and you've just been busy.
Yeah.
But then having that kind of realization, it's then what do you do about it? And, you know, 2019 could have been a big turning point for me. If I hadn't have met Pete at that point in time, I may have actually just surrendered and said, actually, you know, okay, I'm going to make the most out of the life I can have. I would have had a happy life, don't get me wrong. I would have made everything possible to make that happen. But
right.
It might have ended a slightly different way than I'm hoping it's going to end now.
Now, how long did it take you to lose the weight? Because, like, you know, you see people trying to market fat weight loss diets and this and that. And, you know, nothing ever comes fast. If something good is going to come about, to me, it takes time and effort. What do you think?
Oh,
how
definitely.
Long did it take you?
So my first 10 kilograms, so that's 22 pounds, that was, took me 3 months, 12 weeks.
Okay.
The next 3 months, I dropped about another 7 kilograms. Basically, just kept doing that for about 18 months. I went down from 154 down to 94.
Wow.
In total, so that was the 340 down to 207. I think it's 207. It's more like that pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was really pleased on that. I wasn't, and this is where, again, human mind's an awful thing, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I set a goal, and a friend of mine got me on stage. He made me publicly declare and all sorts of things. I'll get him back for me one day. and he goes, so what's your goal? And I was there going, not too sure. And I did a bit of a calculation. When I used to do canoe slalom and things, I was weighing in at 88 kilograms. So I says, 88 kilograms. Thinking very proud of himself, I managed to answer his question on the spot there. And then he goes, and when are you going to get that done by? And it was like, okay, quick bit of math. Where am I now? Where do I need to be? I've just lost 10K in a month. Let's say I can't do that all the time. So I gave myself like 2 years to get down to 88 kilos. And anyway, 18 months down the line, got down to 94, and I was kicking myself 6 kilograms over. It's like, a sore head. And then my wife goes, you do realize you've lost over 10 stone, Martin. And it's
wow.
Like, whoa, that's like a whole person.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And you know, up until that point, when somebody else kind of points these things out, sometimes you can get buried in your own kind of head as to where you are and what's going on and things.
Oh, 100%. 100%. You know, it's sometimes, you know, fantasy and desire versus reality is two different things. And sometimes we get caught with the desire and the fantasy, and we forget you know, in the real life, you know, we have to look realistically. Like you said, you lost a whole person. That's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
You know, and I give you kudos for that. You know, now you do coaching, correct? And you like what services do you provide to people that want to, you know, learn how to, you know, lose weight and be able to maintain that weight loss?
Yeah, well, I work with some quite amazing like consultants and business owners and things. And that's the reason why, is because that's, you know, who I am. It's,
right.
I've been growing up doing that for like decades. So I know the kind of trials and tribulations that go through and all the kind of pitfalls and pit stops and all those other bits that are going to trip them up and things. So I can really give them some benefit of my knowledge over the years. Because part of it is, you know, you'll go to college, you'll get the various different qualifications, you'll learn the stuff about the different scientific methods and the studies and things that are going on today, because it's always changing. But actually, a lot of it's down to, you know, the how do you apply it in real life?
Yeah.
Because, you know, theoretical knowledge is great, but actually taking something and saying, okay, you are working 7 in the morning on your first call, you'll finish at maybe 8 o'clock at night, you'll have a brown bag lunch, how on earth are you going to train? You know, the gyms don't open until 7:30 and they usually right. closing by 8.
Yeah.
How are you going to prepare for it? What are you going to do for your meals? I tend to work with people that were similar to me, just similar, because I can help them a lot more. I don't think I'd be as good trying to train my son or something like that. He's a different generation. I'd love to, but to be frank, he bounces around much more than I do. So I tend to work with people like that, and then it is breaking it down into kind of 6 key areas really for them. So like I said to you before, step number one, really work on your mindset, get that nailed down, understand what's going to happen there. Step two is just really, it's very mechanical. It's meals and movement, really. You know, what's your diet going to look like? And what kind of exercise plan are we going to put together? How's that going to meet your goals that you set in your mindset type of elements of it? How's that going to work with your values? How's that going to really work with your schedule? And that brings in like the next step, which is about method. So it's building a method that works for you. And that's kind of one of the key things that most people don't realize. And I have a really simple mantra: is if it isn't in the diary, it doesn't get done.
Yeah.
And that works really well with busy business people.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So if they get in the diary, it's fine. And it makes it one of those non-negotiables as well. And it's like with the old analogy of, I can't remember what professor was it that did it in front of his class, where he got that beaker full of nothing, and he said, okay, if I fill this with sand, all the minor things in life, what's going to happen? It gets fallen. But if I put the big rocks in then and put the smaller rocks, etc. Mm-hmm. So these bits are the big rocks. It's the things that you don't want to move, non-negotiables, because those are high in your values.
Right.
And then we do things like, you know, when we're doing these things, scheduling, we also schedule in rest and relaxation. You know, what are you going to do for that last hour of the day?
Right.
You know, get off your phone, stop doing emails. You know, that last Facebook message can wait.
Right.
You know, are you going to unwind and relax? Because your body will go from, you know, nothing to I'm screaming out of here because some saber-toothed tiger is going to try and run after me in about a heartbeat. But it takes time for it to relax and slow down and get into that repair state.
Yes.
So if you don't give it that time, then it's never going to be in that position. And again, that whole stress element really kind of drives a lot of the problems. So we'll look at how do you schedule in some of that moderation. And that kind of helps with thinking about, for example, how do people reward themselves as well?
Mm-hmm.
Because we've grown up in a society where food's big. And I don't think people realize consciously how big it is to everything. So for example, you're going to celebrate something, what are you going to do? The probabilities you go out for a meal or you go out for a beer. You
know, right.
What happens to birthdays? Birthday cake. What happens to wedding? Wedding cake. What happens at Christmas? Christmas cake.
Yeah.
You know, it's just part of everyday life now. It is the initial thing we reach to if we want to go for a celebration. Oh, it's you've done really well at school. Let's go take you out for a meal or something. Or we'll have a barbecue or, you know, whatever else is going to be happening.
Right.
So what other things could you do that might not necessarily be food oriented that you could do? So for example, go do some mini golf or crazy golf, as we say over here.
Yeah.
Or go bowling or go swimming or go for a walk or
right.
go take your better half to a beautiful spa day. You know,
yeah.
Get brownie points for that one at the same time.
You'll get bonus points for sure.
Yeah, kudos. Absolutely, 100%. But all these little things, again, it's just nobody thinks about them up front. So you start to think about those and put them into being part of your method and your moderation piece. Then straight away, rather than reaching for that thing that might cause you more damage, you reach for something that's going to cause you more good.
Right.
And it's like, have you read anything by James Clear about the habit stuff?
The habit stuff? What?
Yeah. So James Clear does a book called Atomic Habits.
Oh, okay.
Good book, definitely worth a read. So again, one of the kind of key concepts it has in there is about, you know, making what's bad for you harder to do, making what's easy for you easier to do. And it's
right.
Good for you, easier to do. Sorry.
Yeah.
So things like, you know, if you like a glass of wine every now and again or a couple of beers, then leave them in the shop. Then if you really, really, really want one, you have to get up out of your seat, go to the shop, purchase whatever it is, come back, and all of that effort might be thinking, I really can't bother with that. But if it's one of those events where you think, actually, I'm going to do this because of whatever, then you would put the effort in to do it.
Right.
Yeah. And same with making the easy things. So if you've got lots of nice activities that you can do rather than eating Christmas cake or something, then straight away it becomes easier. And then the final piece is we work on monitoring. Which is one thing that people either don't do badly or misinterpret somewhere along the lines. And the scales, like we were talking about earlier, was an absolute classic one, because everyone's kind of grown up with this idea, you must weigh a certain amount, you must get on the scales, you must measure every single day, blah blah blah.
And
there's so many misnomers with that. So for example, the pull of gravity on the earth is different wherever you are.
Yes.
And so you could weigh yourself in one place and weigh yourself somewhere else. Nothing else might have changed other than the fact of your location. You weigh two different values, but yet you're still the same person, right?
Exactly.
And same with things like water retention. Water retention is great. So if you do a lot of traveling or anything, you're going to retain more water. If you eat things, you're going to retain more water. Every litre of water is worth a kilogram. That easily adds up. Before you know it, you've just put on 2, 3, 4, 5 kilograms. If it's nothing more than you drinking tea or something.
Yes.
But most people then be obsessing about it. It's like, oh my God, the scales have just said I put 3 kilograms on this week. No, you know, yeah. So you're metabolizing that. No, it's not going to happen. So again, getting people to realize, you know, when to do it, how to do it, and not the fact that you're not looking to get an absolute value in that moment. You're looking for a trend over time.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing. And, you know, all of our bodies change, you know.
Yes.
And, but women know this probably better than men on a monthly basis kind of thing. We know that thing kind of happens. You're going to have weeks where you're going to feel more stronger, weeks where you're going to feel not as strong, weeks where you're going to feel more emotional and things. Men have the same things too. We don't tend to admit to them quite as much. But, you know, that's what happens. Our bodies are constantly changing all the time. So if we haven't learned a method of monitoring what's going on, both some objective measures, you know, like scales, you know, potentially fat calipers, maybe tape measures, whatever kind of way you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Plus some subjective measures, you know, how are you feeling? You know, what went really well this week? What didn't go quite as well?
Right.
You know, how can you make things work even better for you?
Right.
How are you going to celebrate those things that went really well? And kind of taking note of them and really kind of championing them through.
Right. You know, also, like, I have so many friends that have to travel in their job. It requires them to go from one place to the next place to the next place. And, you know, when you have constantly eating out at restaurants, how do you avoid not putting on those pounds? And how can you lose weight when you're constantly traveling and you're constantly eating food? Because, you know, they're pouring on the butter, they're pouring on the olive oil, and it's like, it's a death trap, you know, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's just where it comes down to good selection, really, and being prepared where you can. There's going to be those days when it's just not going to happen for one reason or another. You're going to be stuck. You're going to be in the wrong place, wrong time. Just do what you need to do. If it's a case of, you know, you're in a position where actually you've got nothing on you, you're feeling hungry. You know you're due a meal about now.
Yeah.
grab yourself whatever it is that it takes. If it's a Nova Scotia Lox bagel or something like that, go for it. You know, if that's what you've got available at that point in time, don't make yourself feel guilty about it. You know, it's a that moment thing. It's what you needed to get through that day at that point. It's not what defines you. It's not what you do every day. And the reality is, if that's the only thing you do all week that you've done off of your plan to your target things, it's going to have no impact.
Right.
Or such a small impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. Worrying about it, stressing about it, getting anxious about it, all those kind of negative things that cause that turmoil with your hormones and everything, that's going to cause you so much more damage than that one tiny indiscretion.
It's true. It's true. Now, do you do online coaching services? Like, can someone, you know, from, let's say, the States contact you and get the help? And now, what's your website? Where can people contact you?
Yeah, my website is martinsharp.com.
Okay.
Yep, make it really easy.
And so people can, you know, get your services. Do you have any books or any type of things that you offer besides the coaching?
Yeah, I've done a number of books and things, so people can welcome to grab those. Co-authored a number of books as well, both in business and in health. So those are available. I've got all sorts of PDFs and things that people can grab hold of. I also do like an online morning. Well, it's morning for me. I think it'd be quite late evening for you guys. class, so 7:30. Well, it's going to be 6:30 going forwards because everyone's saying they prefer to have it before the school starts, really, the school run. So yeah, it's going to be 6:30 going forwards. So that's your 7. Yeah, you might squeeze it in. I think it'd be about 11:30 at night for you. So just play it to bed. So I do that as like it's a bit of a free online thing where we just get together, we have a bit of a chat, we talk about health, fitness, we do a bit of exercise, keeps people moving, keeps people motivated. That works quite well.
And can we get your books on your website, or are they on Amazon? Where are your books?
They're all on Amazon, are the books. So yeah, you can get them there. So you're welcome to, if you search my name, comes up. I've got an Author Central page, so you can get them there. Or links are available on the Martin Sharp website as well, so that makes it even easier.
Now it's Martin. Is it? It's Sharp, Sharp, or is it just? That's the correct.
That's spot. Correct. Yes. So okay. I had a dyslexic ancestor. You're right.
I just want to make sure. You know, it's been a pleasure having you. And thank you so much for all this valuable information. You know, everybody go to martinsharp.com. He has great information. He has a ton of books to offer. And thank you so much for, you know, taking your time to help people, because this is something that people worldwide struggle with. And, you know, lots of people want to lose weight, but they just don't know how, because they try everything. And we're bombarded with all these different types of diets. Every month there's a new diet, a new phase, a new trend. And it's really about everything you've just talked about. And, you know, thank you very much for, you know, helping people understand that it's not these trends, these diet fads, they're not going to work. It's a lifestyle change. And it's really, you know, working on yourself. And it's not going to be a 1-2-3 thing. It's going to take time. But you're the proven knowledge. You know, look at you. You did a total turnaround. So he's the proof, everybody. You know, come on. You know, you know this is no joke. You know, you've done amazing job losing the weight, and you look terrific. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for everything.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shooting drills.
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve. But one who genuinely cares about each player.
You have what it takes. We got this.
Can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist. Leaders in banking. Unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care.
Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.